Hey friends, what you are about to hear is a very special edition of the Instant Cast, different from the one that we've already put out this week. Now, if you've been following the show for anything more than about 2 weeks, then you probably know that our weekly Instant Cast show, which is our initial reactions to the game, is also a call-in show for you, our fellow fans, to voice your reactions as well. That show is typically recorded at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, often hours after the game. Mostly, that's just because of logistical things on our end. Unfortunately, that means it's not really so instant, especially after a 1 o'clock game. Well, this past week, we tried out a new time slot where we did a true instant cast and went live within minutes of the game ending as a sort of trial run to see how it would go. With it being so close to the end of the game, would it affect our reactions? Would people actually show up to the live stream and call in? Is it something that we could handle and do in the future? So this really was just a test of a time slot. We have no immediate plans to move to this time slot permanently. However, there definitely was some things that were different about this show at this time versus the show that we did later on that same night at 10 o'clock. And I think it colored the show a little bit differently. So, with that in mind, we thought that it would be fun to go ahead and release this one as well, too, a sort of bonus episode for the week. So with that, we hope you enjoy this truly instant edition of the Instant Cast. Stand it. But this is the Instant Cast presented to you by the Pewtercast, coming to you guys in a true Instant Cast fashion. We are here after the game, and by after the game, Rendaxed, I mean immediately after the game. Welcome to the Instant Cast, my friend.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. So we are here. Like we said, we're coming right after the game. Typically, the Instant Cast actually isn't so instant. We do it later on in the evening, about 10 o'clock. We thought we'd give this time slot a try. We had the ability to make it happen. So we're going to see who all joins us. This is going to be our typical Instant Cast show. We're going to talk about this game that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just lost to the Tennessee Titans in. I mean, that had to have been three different ways that the Buccaneers could have lost that game. And they did all three of them in the exact same way at only 27-23. Like, it wasn't a runaway game.
No, it wasn't. Defense showed up.
They're already calling in, Ren. I'll just take the call. They don't care. They're like, I'm calling. Screw it. Let's talk to them. Who do we got here? You are on the line with Brent and Ren for the Instant Cast. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who do we got here?
Hi, this is Gil.
Gil, what's going on? Is this Gil?
What's up, you guys? My first time calling in.
Well, man, thanks for calling in. Gil, where are you calling from, buddy?
From Bakersfield, California.
Wow, all the way out there in the Cali. If I had some theme music queued up for you, I'd play it. But awesome. Gil, we have a rule on this show if you've been listening for any amount of time at all, and if you're not, I'll explain it to you. Anytime we have a first-time caller, we like to know how you became a Bucks fan, especially all the way out in California. Gil? Uh-oh, we lost Gil. Drop the call. All right, Gil, if you're listening, give us a call back. We'll take your call. But before I officially say the phone lines are open, although obviously they are, Ren, Bucks go down 27-23. I'm off my game. Where are we? Oh, hey, before we do that, shout out to everybody joining us live at youtube.com/thePewtercast. You guys are awesome. And to everyone who will be joining us later live, shout out to you guys as well if you're listening to us on the podcast feed as well. Big chat room going on tonight, Ren, over there. People pouring in, people having all sorts of stuff to say. But before we do officially open the phone lines, Ren, I'll give you a chance. Thoughts on this game, your immediate thoughts coming right out of it.
Well, we got Brian Bronson here in the chat room, and I'm kind of with him. You know, I'm not a blame the refs guy. That's what he puts in there, and he puts it in quotes in the chat, and I'm not. But those were two huge calls that went against the Bucks.
The back-to-back passing interference calls? Is that what you're talking about?
No. But that's one of them, the second one. The first one, they didn't show us the replay, so we don't know if it was a crappy call or not. You know, Carlton Davis intercepts the ball. Well, it's pass interference, you know. But I guess Villavea hit him too hard. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's what happened. He's too big, you know.
Right.
That he pushed him down too hard, so they threw a flag. There was a little bit of a helmet contact, but not nearly enough that I think would have been called, or it happened way too fast to even see that. Mm-hmm. But the second one, you know, he didn't push off him. It was acting job by the tight end slash whoever the hell it was.
Yeah.
And the pass is uncatchable, and only, you know, Carlton could have caught it. So I'm glad B.A. challenged that.
Yeah, me too.
Of course, now as we look forward to the end of the game where that timeout really would have been nice. You know, to have, but the where they went for it on fourth down with the fake field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, the replay, like, they weren't even interested to even showing if he fumbled it or not. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of, as they're going away to a commercial, it's like, oh, look, he fumbled.
Right.
You know, but it would have been a clear recovery, but it would have been our ball there anyway, because they wouldn't allow him to advance it because it was called dead. So, mm-hmm. you know, it happened. I don't know. Was it Carolina or the Saints game where we got jobbed? It was like, oh, that's not a fumble. Oh, yeah, it is. But
oh, the Carl Nassib one where there's no clear recovery.
Yeah.
And all that.
Yeah,
I think that was the Saints game. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got jobbed on that. And you see week after week after week of these refs just letting it play out to see mm-hmm. what happens. And if they would have done their job, what they're supposed to do, it would have been a tie ball game.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you add that on to the interception where they did end up going down and scoring a field goal. The only way they got down the field was those back-to-back pass interference calls mm-hmm. where they ended up getting a field goal. And, you know, as crappy as that game started, I think every facet of the Bucs played well enough to win. I thought the secondary played well enough to win. Mm-hmm. I thought the front seven played well enough to win. The offensive line, all the receivers, obviously Mike Evans, mm-hmm. you know. I thought Jameis played well enough to win.
Even with his three fumbles, albeit one of them was complete ghost fumble, and his, what, two interceptions, three interceptions by the end of the game?
Two. Threw one like the last play of the game.
Yeah.
That one down on our end was bad. Mm-hmm. Did he have three fumbles?
Yeah, he had two actual fumbles, and then there was the face mask thing right early in the game. It still gets credited as a fumble. So.
Right.
At least that's what the stat line tells me. So.
Well, you know, Tennessee's defense is legit, yeah. and, you know, they haven't given up. They've only given up 20 points once. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the max they've given up.
Right.
We put up 24. You know, could have easily made it 27-1 to kick a field goal there, but they had to go for it. But, mm-hmm. You know, I'm not blaming the refs, but, man, I kind of feel like a Saints fan right now. As in, like, you know, we really got jobbed in that game. Not we would have won, you know, not that, you know, it was just blowout game. But, you know, they had 77 yards at halftime total offense, and we're losing 14-9.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just so Buccaneers. It's unbelievable.
Let's find out who we have on the line here. You are on the line with Brent and Ren for the InstantCast. Who do we have here?
All right, my bad, you guys. This is Gil again. My phone got disconnected.
Not a problem, Gil. Not a problem. Hey, listen, I was asking you the question. You're all the way out in California. How'd you become a Bucs fan?
I've been a Bucs fan now for about 3-4 years now. And
wow.
My family was a bunch of Rams fans, you know, and mm-hmm. I just started really getting into football about 4 years ago and said, you know what? I need to pick my own team. So I like Pirates, I like the logo, and I like the color of the jersey. So I was like, oh, this is a pretty cool team. And so I, you know, realized how our record was doing and everything. I'm like, oh, shit. But since then, Mike Evans has been, like, my all-time favorite player. So I've just stuck with the Bucs for the past couple of years.
Yeah, well, Gil, I tell you, Mike had a hell of a game. 11 receptions, almost 200 yards, two touchdowns. He only missed one of his targets, 11 receptions on 12 targets. Like, we talked about getting Mike Evans back in the game. He was back for this game. And, Ren, to your point just a minute ago, we played well enough to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Gil, what are your thoughts, man? We are right here fresh off the game. What are your thoughts here on this Buccaneers loss to the Titans?
All right, I got one thing to say that's been just on my mind. And by the way, I'm in a Ren's fantasy league, so that's how I've been following you guys for the past like 2 years now too.
Oh, or
about
you.
Almost 2 years now, but a little over a year. Yeah,
there we go.
But okay, so if we were to go back to the very beginning of the season, mm-hmm. and someone was to tell us you're gonna play damn near nothing but backup quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and you know just how our defense was playing in the beginning of the season and everything, you would think, oh, this is like everything's lining up for us mm-hmm. to just go on a roll and destroy all these teams. But I just, like, I know a lot of people have different opinions on this, but Jameis, there's so many times where he doesn't have pressure and he just makes the most dumbest decisions I've ever seen. And it's I don't know, it's just getting to a point now where you think, you know, yeah, he does play good, but you also got to remember the weapons he has. The reason why those flashes that we see, it's those weapons that we have, you know? Now, if we had someone else, you know, maybe, you know, there'd be a different outcome to all these games.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Gil. And, hey, are you the one that I made get a Twitter account? I think his phone got disconnected again.
Possible. It's possible. Well, right. Ren, I'll let you respond to that.
Yeah, there was one. I think it was him. It was in the fantasy league. I'm like, you got to get a Twitter account so we can communicate, guy. So thanks for that. You know, it's yeah. To go back to facing all these, you know, backup quarterbacks, you would kind of think it'd be, hey, 5-2, here we come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. As far as Winston, it's getting to the point where I'm running out of, like, I'm like slowly slipping off the train. You know, I know I did say he played, you know, I said where he played well enough, like he played well enough for him to win the game. You know,
he did.
He threw like 300 yards and this and that. But as far as decision making, it seems that like every decision since the Saints game, so at Saints Carolina in this game, he goes, I should throw it. No, I shouldn't. Yes, I should. And then something happens. I should run. No, I shouldn't. Yes, I should. And then it either gets runs or gets sacked. You know, it's like the process that, you know, his mental process is not working or isn't fast enough for the NFL game. And I'm not calling him stupid. I'm just saying that in his effort to be smart with the football all the time, it's slowing up his progressions and his decision making a lot. And he looks very haphazard, like very anxious out there. Like my anxiety goes up just watching him play football. Like he's very rarely, like you watch him and it's, remember when we started saying this when Fitzpatrick came in, it was just nice and calm.
It was cool. It was calm. Yeah.
You know, it'd be like, okay, you know, a sack, no problem. He gets up. Let's, you know, like Jameis is running back and forth from the sidelines. He's in the huddle. He looks all frantic. Like he's calling out the plays. Like everything's a million miles an hour with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm starting to get to the point where he might be just, it's one of those things where he just might be too competitive.
Right. I have some thoughts on that. Remind me to come back to this, how I feel watching Jameis play in today's game. But for now, let's go ahead and take this call. You are on the line with Brent and Ren for the Instant Cast. Who do we have here tonight?
It's Anthony from Tampa. How are you guys doing?
What's going on, good. Anthony? Well, you know, we're fresh off a Buccaneers game. So,
yeah.
About normal, I'd say, right now.
It sucks, man. I can't believe we lost that game.
Really? I mean, no, really, Anthony, like, you've been a Bucs fan for a while. Can you really believe that we lost that game? Because
no, I'm dead serious. I really cannot believe we lost that game. I really cannot believe it. If I was a betting man, and I'm not, but if I was, I would have definitely put money down on the Bucs, especially knowing the history behind BA, and I don't need to get into it because I'm sure everybody that listens to this knows all that stuff, so there's no point in getting into it, but
BA in the bye week,
I really thought
like
that game was going to be ours.
Yeah.
I just cannot believe we lost.
Yeah, I thought we were going to win too, but
and
you know,
how we lost, it's every time over and over again. The same dumb things that we lose games. I mean, are you serious? A snap hit Winston in the face? I mean, are you serious? I never even saw that when I played football in high school. And my team lost every single game for 4 years straight.
Yeah.
My team literally was 0-63, my Dunedin high school football team. And I still never saw shit like that. I just don't understand. Somebody help me.
Oh, well, don't forget about how Perryman made a
Ren,
great tackle.
Can you help me out, buddy? You're
the
only one that ever gives me some positive outlook, because I agree with you on pretty much 95% of the stuff you say, even though you get a bunch of hate for it. I'm probably the only person that agrees with you on almost everything. Help me out, buddy. I need some help here.
I'm so
discouraged right now.
Ren, I got to tell you, I think Anthony has a higher agreement rate with you than I do, brother.
Yeah, well, thanks for Anthony. You'll be getting a fan club pin, and you get to you pay no dues, by the way.
Are you there?
Can you hear us? Can you hear us? I don't know if he can hear me.
He should be able to hear us. Yeah, I don't know. Might be his phone.
No, I can't. I can hear you, but I can't hear Ren.
You can't hear Ren. Uh-oh. Hey, how about that? Is that any better?
Hello, hello, hello?
Yeah, now
sorry
I can
about
hear
that. That's my fault, guys. That was my fault. Sorry for that.
Another sneaky, underhanded ploy by Brent to push me out of the podcast. I wonder if I'll even – will I be picked up in the pod at all? Will I be, like, silent?
Yeah, yeah. Those are two completely separate lines.
Okay, for we'll see. Anyway, I was saying, Anthony, that you are now in the Red Wrens fan club. You'll be getting a pin very soon in the mail, and you never have to pay dues. You're a lifetime member.
Okay, wonderful. A lifetime member.
So, positives – The secondary looked much better. Yeah, I thought the defense finally showed up to play. I thought JPP's presence in that front seven freed up Nassib, freed up Shaq Barrett to do some things.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't re-break his neck, so that's good. I thought Levante David had a Pro Bowl type of game, all pro game.
Yep, I would agree.
You know,
the
Devin
secondary
White
didn't get as torched.
I thought Devin White played, you know, pretty well. Like, you know, there were some things where he missed a couple of run fits and stuff, but you know, he came up big on that. You know, would have been a touchdown tying fumble,
definitely.
But for the refs, of course, Mike Evans, you know, played good, and I thought I thought Ronald Jones looked fine. I thought he looked good too. I think Peyton Barber, it's time for him just to not get the ball anymore. Dare finally made somebody miss and picked up a first down.
Said those exact same words. I was like, thank you, finally.
Yeah, he made somebody miss.
And of course, it happens when we actually need it, but it didn't end up doing anything positive for us in the end. So that sounds about Bucks, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you know, like, I tweeted out at halftime, like we're going to win this game, but that might be the most Bucks half I've ever seen. Perryman makes a clean tackle on Dare down inside the five-yard line.
This is a basketball question. Was that a block or a charge? Do we know?
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't even know. That was just embarrassing.
Yes, it was.
And I mean, that's why we're the laughing stock of the league. That stuff right there. I mean, as much as it sucks to think, that's like once in a season that you'll ever see something like that happen in the whole league. And of course, it happens with two instances in the same game for the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
The fumble that hits Winston in the face, and then that one you guys are talking about. It's just, oh my God.
Yeah.
So discouraging, man. We don't deserve this. We really don't.
No, as a fan base, we do not deserve this. And I was shocked sort of about the miscommunication. Even though the defense did play better, it looked like there was a lot of miscommunication going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of flipped that and said, well, at least they're talking now instead of just letting it, oh, you're not where you're supposed to be. Well, let it ride out. Like, they were trying to get in the right spots and stuff. So, and, you know, I thought the defense, you know, probably had their best game, I think, overall.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
You know, even though, you know, they ended up getting 27 put on them, you know, it's hard when it's first and goal twice, you know, and you're just running out of the field.
They had 27 put on them, but how many of those points were scored off of turnovers, though? Like, I mean, I know this defense still has to stand up, right?
How many of those
points
were scored on BS calls by the ref, too? I mean,
right.
You can go round and round.
Right. Well, but that's what I mean. The defense still has to stand up. I don't care if they get a short yard or a long yard type situation or a short field or long field type situation. They still have to stand up, and they didn't. It's hard. I get it. I'm not discrediting them for that, but, you know,
the defense played really good, actually.
I thought they had times when they were really good and times when I felt like the fourth quarter, and Ren, maybe you tend to have a better eye on this than I do. I felt the fourth quarter with the defense, particularly the secondary, was the most, like, they played a really good game through the first three quarters, but then that fourth quarter really felt like they just sort of reverted back to what we've seen so far this season with that secondary.
Well, Tennessee started throwing the ball in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they're like, hey, the middle's open. What do you know? What a shock.
Mm.
And it's odd to both defense, the middle's open.
Right.
Hey. But, you know, it's – the reason why it wasn't such a dominant, like, you feel, Brent, I think this is, you know, I'm going to throw this out there, that you didn't think it was such a, like, a great defensive display. Mm-hmm. One, they scored 27 points, but, you know, two were first and goal. And, you know, yes, you have to stand up, but that's really not fair. Mm-hmm. So Tennessee really only scored, like, drove down the field and scored one touchdown, you know, having to actually get a first down during that drive. But what happened, what has been plaguing the Bucs defense, was they couldn't get off the field in the second half. They couldn't get off the field in third down again. You know, like the Bucs, I think we only had the ball twice in the whole second and third quarter, I should say. We scored a touchdown, and then Tennessee came down, and I'm not remember if they scored it out, but they ran a bunch of time off the clock. We went three and out, our first three and out of the game, and then that's when they went down and sort of scored their touchdown. And, you know, we've had the ball twice, and it's like, you know, 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and now we're losing, and it's like, okay, like, and then we didn't, that's when Winston tried to, I don't remember what happened, but we didn't score then either. And then Tennessee got the ball and went down and kicked a field goal, and now we're really losing. Or maybe it was opposite, field goal, then touchdown. So now we're really losing, and all of a sudden the pressure's on, and there's 6 minutes left, and, like, we have to score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, the defense.
Yeah, but after those 6 minutes, the defense put up two big stops. So, I mean, it really wasn't their worst defensive quarter. They put up two huge stops, and, you know, maybe they were trying to run the clock out, but with the minute left, we still forced them to go three and out. I don't know. I thought the defense played really good, actually.
I did too. Like, I'm not putting this on the defense whatsoever. It's just a Bucs game, man. Like, you know, that's the only way to describe it, and everyone understands it. You know, holding a team to 77 yards offense and being down by 5 points at halftime. You know, where you have the ball like 20 minutes, over 20 minutes in the first half, and you're down, you know, you're down by five. Can't get the ball in the end zone, you know, in the first half. It was just, it's just a Bucs game. It was just what it is. It's, it's what, I mean, I don't.
And that's why, and if, I mean, if I can interject here, that's why, you know, like when we sit back and we start looking at a lot of the, like, we look at the individual accomplishments throughout the team over the course of this game, it looks good, right? Like, you look at Mike Evans' game, you look at, honestly, you look at Jameis' game, just look at the stat line, and you take away that one fumble, and you're like, okay, he threw for over 300 yards, had a couple of touchdowns, he had a couple of interceptions, but that kind of goes hand in hand sometimes. You know, like, he still did enough to put us in scoring position. Individuals in the defense had really good game. We had three different guys get sacks over the course of the game. All those things are fine, but you could take individual stats and shove them up a big old fat elephant's rear end if the team doesn't win the game. You know what I mean? And we've seen, I mean, you know, we've seen this for years as Buccaneer fans. And I think, was it Gil, our last caller, was like, I became a fan 3 years ago. And I was like,
Welcome to the club, buddy.
That's, you know, I at least came on as a bandwagon and just never got off, you know, back in the 90s. I mean, good Lord. Kudos to him. But, hey, Anthony, I'm gonna go ahead and let you go. I'm gonna let some other people get a chance to call in tonight. All right.
All right. Let me just say two things. Let you guys talk about after I hang up.
Sure.
One, did you guys see Hargraves call that timeout right before the touchdown, the very first one? I thought that was kind of BS. I mean, he literally called a timeout, was looking directly at the ref, didn't do anything. They score a touchdown, whatever. And
say that one more time.
What?
With the VH3 thing, I just want to ask, was that he was trying to call a timeout and the refs didn't acknowledge it?
No, yeah, he was literally looking directly at the ref, making the timeout sign with his hands, and then they just looked at him like he was a spectator or something. Kind of BS, but whatever. And what do you guys think about not putting Rojo in on that fourth down play? I mean, Jesus. Why would you put Barber in right there? I get it. He's the bigger back. He's more of the smash mouth. But what's with that, man? I don't understand why Rojo's not the starter. Come on already.
Yeah.
So
all right, we'll
talk about that, I guess.
Yeah.
And, have a good week.
Cheer up, Anthony.
Hopefully
cheer
move
up,
on
Anthony.
To Seattle.
Go Bucks. I get it, man. I really get it, Bucks. Anthony. All right. Hey, phone line's clear. I know there's a couple people trying to call in here. What do you think about that? I'll give you a chance to go here. You are on the line with Brent and Ren for the Instant Cast. Who do we have here?
Brent, Ren, how hell are you guys doing today?
I believe this is a very drunk ukulele Pete here. Am I right about that?
This is a very drunk, very pissed off ukulele Pete. I killed a bottle of gin. I recorded another song before this all happened because I knew it was happening.
Yeah.
It just felt like that. And you know what? They scared me a little bit at halftime. At halftime, I thought, damn it, I spent an hour and 15 minutes writing and recording this today, and now they're going to go ahead and win. But no, my franchise didn't let me down. They once again managed to find a way to blow a lead. Look, I love these guys. I love them. But please, please, there has to be a way. There has to be a way of changing this. I'm sick of individual stats. I agree completely with Brent. They can take these stats and shove them up someone's butt. Because individual stats don't matter. I don't care if Mike Evans has the most catches of any freaking wide receiver ever in the history. I don't care if freaking Jameis Winston becomes freaking Superman himself. This team loses. And as long as they lose, and if this keeps going, when are the Glazers just going to be like, hey, guess what? We don't know what we're doing. And I don't know what else can we do. You guys, someone please tell me, what can we do? I look to you two for advice. I look for you two for some sort of hope.
You might be looking in the wrong spot, Pete, because we are kind of in it with you, brother.
wait for the nighttime show.
Give us about 6 hours to think about that. Yeah, Pete, man, I get it, buddy. I really do. And yeah, you sent me that song and my only thought was, man, that's 16 games a year. You could record an album a year if you just did one per game, you know, and just release a new album every year.
And they'd all be blues albums, of course.
Right, right. But I mean, Pete, I get it, man. And it's, I mean, this right here, this phone call, this is what we're talking about when we talk about an instant cast, your instant reactions of how you're just kind of coming off the game. And what you're doing, go ahead.
I do have some advice. I know, like you said, you're looking to us for something to cling on to, and forget about the game, the defensive performance, and Mike's performance, and the so-so offensive line, and Rojo did what he could, and he's almost there from breaking out, and Godwin did Godwin things. Look at it this way. We're 2-5, okay? If you judge a season by making the playoffs or not, it's over. Mm-hmm. The season is over. So now, just enjoy the ride, man. Just enjoy the ride. Just like, just look for improvements, what you like, what you don't like. Don't even care if they win or not because it doesn't matter anymore. It's a little too early to start talking about draft positions, but mm-hmm. if you want to, we can, because the season is over. There is zero chance. Yeah.
It's 4.7% that a 2-5 team makes the playoffs.
Yeah. And we're in a division with the Saints, and the NFC is really strong this year. It's not like we're in the AFC where there's two teams.
Right.
Right.
But for the first time, we find ourselves in a spot. The NFC South, I mean, the Falcons aren't doing much better than we are. They may come out.
The Panthers have won 5 straight.
Yeah, but the Panthers are doing great. The Saints are doing great. So, it's still a tough division. The conference
is really
tough.
We're not going to win the division, and we're not going to get a wild card. Yeah. Not in this conference.
Right.
There ain't no way.
Right.
It ain't happening. It's over. So now you can relax. You can wake up Sunday, and you're not going to be crushed when they lose because, you know what? It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore, Pete.
Nope.
It just kick back
and
strum some tunes, write some songs, float down the river, hang out on the beach, just go to the beach with your ukulele and your gin, plop down next to a palm tree like Ali Marpet, turn on the radio, internet radio, listen to Gene, talk to you and just kind of half pay attention to what's going on in the game and enjoy your Sunday. You know why? Because it doesn't matter anymore. The season's over.
No, but Ren, the one thing I gotta say is, what will happen is the Bucks will end up winning just enough games at the end of the season to put us out of being able to get anybody decent in the top 10. That would be a very Bucks
thing to do, would it not?
It would. I thought you were going to say they'll win just enough games to make us think that they might make the playoffs, you know, like rolling into December.
No. That's not happening.
I've paid enough, like I'm not heavy into draft right now, but I've paid enough attention where there are going to be players available at need positions for the Buccaneers this year anywhere. This is a really good draft. I think every draft is kind of getting like better and better and deeper over the past like 2 or 3 years. Like there are plug and play starters, you know, up and down the first round this year. So we'll get a good player no matter where we pick. We can't be picking what? So how many teams make the playoffs? 8? So we can't pick any low.
No, 12.
12? 12 teams make the playoffs?
Yeah, 12.
Okay, wait, so that so we so we're,
yeah, you
we
get
can't,
6 from each conference. So
yeah, okay, so then yeah. You know it's 19 or higher.
Yeah,
can't be any lower than
sure.
That.
Sure. Yeah. So the question is this: Are we going to sit there and watch Jameis Winston have games like this? And what comes next? You know, because I mean everybody throws out the individual stats, and I don't care, but. At the end of the day, what do we do? I mean, what happens with him? I mean, honestly, I don't care. I mean, I'm all down for Ryan Griffin getting out there at this point. I mean, hell, it really can't be worse because, you know, we have to see what we have somewhere because, you know, drafting someone is just about – we have just about as good as odds as letting Ryan Griffin get out and start chucking some balls around.
Mm-hmm. So I do want to respond to that about the putting Ryan Griffin out there. And if this was a situation where we were desperately seeking a quarterback and Ryan Griffin possibly could be the long-term solution at quarterback, I might be with you. Ryan Griffin is not the long-term solution at running back.
Or quarterback.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, quarterback. Right. But Ryan Griffin, he's not it. This year, regardless of where we are record-wise, is still about Jameis Winston. And at 7 games in now, the organization is not ready to finally make that decision. They'll give him the run of the year. So where we go from here is you keep riding Jameis Winston. And what'll happen is they'll either ride him into the sunset or they'll ride him to glory. It's going to be one of the two. It's looking like the sunset right now, you know, because as Ren said, the season as far as playoffs go is pretty much done. It's not mathematically done, but it's pretty much done.
Oh, God.
And we could start talking people and brace yourselves, guys, because this is where everybody starts saying tank for Tua or for whatever name the player you want. Tank. Don't win a game. It's meaningless games. Don't win games. And I am never, ever, ever a co-signer of that unless it's your very last game and you're like in the last half and you just pull your player so you can get that first pick. Like, that's about the only situation where I'm for that. You still try to go out and win the game. You play the game to win the game. But this season is still about determining if Jameis Winston can become that guy. Can he fix these things? Can he turn these around? Screw the playoffs. We're not worried about those anymore. Now it's about what are we going to do and what's the staff going to do? Where are they going to go with it? And it's not just about Jameis Winston anymore, I might add. I think that this year is also turning into a referendum on Vernon Hargraves. It's turning into a referendum on Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber. We've still got more to see out of that. That story is not written. I know a lot of people are screaming for give Rojo the ball, give Rojo the ball, give Rojo the ball. Rojo's been better for sure. He hasn't been franchise running back caliber bust a game wide open though. You know what I mean? He hasn't taken the starting job from Peyton Barber yet. So there are those things. There is still more to this team where honestly, it's like this season for BA and his staff is about evaluating these guys. Let's see what happens when they have plenty of space, cap space going into the free agency next year. They've got the draft positions for where they do, and they've got, you know, a year under their belt. I'd be real interested. I hate to say let's wait till next season and see what happens, but I guess I am. There's always next year, Pete. There's always next year.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, that's it's horrible. You know, we're coming up in the last week of October, and we're back to, hey, let's see what we get next year. And look, I'm with you. This year is going to be a referendum on everybody. For me, you get Mike Evans, you have Godwin, you have Marquette. Who am I missing? Well, obviously, Devin White isn't going anywhere. I guess Levante David. But pretty much everybody else. Oh, and of course, Donovan Smith, can't forget him.
Right.
Pretty much everyone else. Dude, your heads are on the chopping block. You know, I mean, if next year,
a lot
next
of one-year deals,
gonna
brother.
Be an all, yeah, I mean, so if next year is going to be an all-out, you know, rebuild, then, you know, then we should do it. You know, maybe this should be the first time that, you know, the Glazers really just say screw it. And I mean, but then again, I don't think B.A. is that coach. You know, I don't think B.A. didn't come to completely watch this team melt down in front of him and him have to rebuild something. I don't think that's what he's here for. And I don't know if he wants to do that at his age, you know, and I don't know, honestly, if there's anyone on the staff, whether it's Todd Bowles or whoever, that, you know, is probably into that too. So, I mean, who knows? Do we go, is this the first year that, you know, the Glazers, I mean, I could see the end of the year, you know, Bruce Arians just basically throwing up his hands if we only win like another one or two games this year and go, screw this, I'm done with this. I didn't sign up for this crap. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, are the Bucks the team that are going to break Bruce Arians?
They're off to a good start.
Yes, they are. I love this silence. This silence is the best. Look, I'll let you guys go. I got to finish my gin and tonic, and, you know, it's 10 o'clock, so I got to do little things before I go to bed. But look, once again, thank you guys for letting me call in. It is great. The show is great. The weekly podcast, honestly, man, you guys get me so – you guys keep me motivated. You know, if I can real quick, you know, I started – my first podcast ever listened to the Bucks was the What the Buck podcast. And, you know, those last 2 or 3 years, Derek had his podcast. I listened to him, you know, kind of lose his lust for fandom and everything. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm there, but I'm pretty much there. You know, I mean, this team has a way of just killing you at a certain point. And, you know, we all love them. We're all still there cheering for them. But at some point, I agree completely with Ren. At some point, you got to kick back, laugh, and go, huh, can't get any worse than this, and just kind of roll with it. So I guess that's why I'm there this year. Every game, I'll make sure I have a whole bottle of gin ready to go. And, you know, rock and roll. You guys are the best, and thank you very much. And I'll let someone else jump on.
Thanks, Pete. And, hey, enjoy Germany, all right, buddy?
I will, brother. You guys have a good night, man.
All right. It's our international call of the night there, Ren.
Pete, keeping our boys in the air.
Yeah, there he goes. Yeah, I get it. And I mean, to kind of tag on a little bit of what Pete was saying there about, you know, what do we do is, well, here, I'll get to that in a few minutes to answer this phone call. You're on the line with Brent and Ren for the Instant Cast. Who do we have here tonight?
What's up, guys? It's Chris from Virginia.
What's up, Chris?
You sound a lot like Chris from Alaska.
That would be the same person.
All right. What's
up,
Chris?
I don't know, man. I think on Halloween I'm going to have to go to, like, wait for a full moon or something, because there's some kind of curse on this team that for some reason we just have to make a sacrifice in order to get all better, because I don't know what the heck's going on anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's you have all these sort of, like, records that are outliers, you know? Like,
hey, Chris, hold on just a second. Hey, Chris, turn us down in the background. We can hear a little bit of reverb coming back in. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, like, you see all these records, and, you know, it's like, well, if you turn over the ball four times, like, you don't win 92% of the games. Or if your defense holds the other team to under 250 yards, you win, like, you know, 87% of the time. As Bucks fans, it just feels like every game, if we do those things, we're the outlier. We're that 13%, you know, that only allows 250 yards and we lose. Like, I don't even know what to say at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, two guys running each other in the backfield on third down and third and goal, you know, taking a snap to the face. I mean, I don't even know why he snapped. Like, Ali Marpet, like, taps him on the leg, and then you snap it when you want to. Like, obviously, Ali didn't tap him on the leg because Ali was still standing up looking at Jameis going, hey, are you ready for me to tap Ryan Jensen to snap it? And he just snapped it. Like, I don't – receivers ran wrong routes or they weren't on the same page. Like, the interception that ended up wasn't an interception because he dropped it. Like, you know, Jameis was heated. That last interception of Perryman, Jameis was heated. Like, Perryman, like, where was he running to on that first two-point conversion? Like, you have to – like, the boundary's there. Like, you just can't keep running. You just
gotta – but he caught the ball. But at least he caught the ball.
No. It's like, where was he going? I
mean, yeah, he caught it out of bounds. He didn't catch it in bounds.
You know?
Yeah, but Jameis, like, put the ball right where it was supposed to be, and he had to sort of, like, turn around. But where were you going? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a wall there.
He was doing
there.
His Lambo leap before he caught the ball.
I don't understand. It's just, you know, and it's just these things that are so dumb and so basic and so, like, you know, in the first half, the defense jumped off sides like three times, you know, letting the Titans off the hook on third and longs or giving them a first down. And then, you know, like there was, I think everybody on the offensive line got a hold this game. It's just, we can't have nice things in Tampa Bay.
No, and it's just the same story over and over again. You know, like everyone wants to know why Donovan Smith gets so much flack. I mean, the guy can, he played, I mean, he, one of his best games today up till that, till he just got murdered by a defensive end on, and you know, I think 4 or 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter where Jameis fumbled the ball. I mean, in, overall, I mean, the Titans did something stupid and tried to fake it and it didn't really hurt us, but it did take time off the clock and they were driving the ball. So, yeah, it's just, yeah, same thing over and over each week, you know?
Yeah, and by now, and I know I said I liked it, but now I'm thinking about it more, like, that was a dumb decision to try to overturn that defensive pass interference call.
You think
like,
so?
You know they're not going to overturn it. Like, right. They're just not.
Yeah.
Right. Just, it's you a know? waste of timeout, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Just
because I think we really could have used at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And this is like the, like, we all talk about B.A., great coach, he'll figure it out, great. This is like the third time that he screwed his team just by being bullheaded. You know, I'm throwing the flag because that's the right thing to do. You know, because you know what? That call was wrong. Yeah, the call was wrong, but you know, they're not going to overturn it. And you sure as shit needed that freaking timeout when you had the ball 46 less the seconds left. You had to go down and score. You know, it's just.
Yeah. And
I wasted
about 20 seconds on just trying to spike that ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But
can't break, can barely run.
I don't
run.
Know. So I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you talked about the fourth and one play, but I kind of jumped into the chat late. So here's my, the Bucs have tried that play all day in the red zone, and it never works. So why are you trying it on fourth and one with the game on the line? At some point, you just got to, football's football. Get the ball to Mike Evans. He was making plays all day, or Chris Godwin. Just get it to someone, you know. And I'm at the point with Perryman. Cut him this week. Get that fourth round pick. He literally brings nothing to this wide receiver group. I mean, if it's just stretching the field, that's, I mean, he's not going to catch a ball. I think he has, what, four catches all year long? Just cut him. Get the fourth or fifth round pick. I don't care. Dari wasn't, I don't know. I don't know why he continues to be part of the red zone group. It's just like, I think Rojo is your best running back, and he's not being used. I mean, every time he runs the ball, he's getting 5 to 6 yards. Every time Peyton Barber gets the ball, he's getting 1 to 2 yards. And Dari's just, I don't even know what he's doing when he gets the ball.
I mean, be careful with that, because Ronald Jones is only, he only averaged 3.2 yards a carry today, which is still a sight better than Peyton Barber, who only had 2 yards a carry, you know?
Yeah, but how many carries did he have?
He had 11.
I just think Ronald Jones is a, he needs to get 20-plus carries a game.
He has the speed, and
any time can break it.
I don't disagree
with you. Other teams do that, you know?
I don't disagree with you, but again, I'll go back to Ronald Jones, for whatever reason, has not taken this job from Peyton Barber yet.
Yes,
and
he has. He hasn't taken it. That's bullcrap. He has taken it. He is by far the better back. Everybody knows it. They haven't given it to him. He's taken it.
You think
he's
so?
Flat out.
You look back at the body of his work, and Dari's so bad
at pass protection, he shouldn't fucking be in there. He just shouldn't.
Yeah. I really think the only reason why he's not in there over Peyton Barber is the pass protection. And I'm at the point this year, like I said it last year with Cutter, I don't care if the guy can pass protect. Let him run the ball, and then, you know, I still don't think you should be trying to throw all these long developing routes. So you just have to adjust to it. Throw the ball, timing routes, quicker passes. That takes that away. And if you can run the ball efficiently and keep you on the field, but I just don't get it. I think I agree with Ren here. I think Rojo has won the job, and I just don't know what they're doing. I don't know. I just think in the red zone, he's a lot faster than Dari, so he could probably use that speed to his advantage. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he didn't get tackled by Perryman. I don't even know what happened on that play.
Nobody knows.
It looks like that ball was snapped a little bit earlier than what it should have been, or I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
How does Perryman not see that? Like, it happened right in front of him. Okay, maybe they snapped it early. Maybe they snapped it late. But he snaps the ball, and he knows where the running back's going. Like, why did he just stop?
I think he was supposed to be the lead blocker on that play. Like,
but he wasn't going to get there. It doesn't matter. A mistake has been made. Yeah. You just stop and go, okay, you don't try to beat the back to the hole. You're not going to make it. Like, you had to know you were not going to make it. You're, like, at the tight end. The ball is snapped. You've got to get another, like, 8 yards to your guy. The running back has to go, like, 3. You're not going to make it. It was like, I just stop. Like, I don't like Perryman right now. I just don't.
I agree. Like I said, I mean, he has to, if you want to get that comp pick, you have to cut him this week. And I just say, why not? Just do it.
Well,
just cut him. He's not bringing anything to this group. I'd rather see a Watson or a Miller try to develop for next year and get some playing time.
Would you?
Perryman's not going to be back next year.
But would you, though? I mean, because you make a great point.
If
we're going to bring Scotty Miller in, if we're going to bring Watson in.
I would be cutting him before I even get on. Before he gets on that plane, I'm cutting him.
I'm not disagreeing with your point. I'm just saying, do you remember 24 hours ago or 48 hours ago when we were talking about the drop-off at the number 3 wide receiver position while Perryman was out? They're like, wow, that is a steep drop-off. And I think we kind of said, hey, it's a good thing that Perryman's back.
Yes.
Now we're on the backside of this game and we're going, maybe let's just let those guys develop. So that's the only reason why I say, are you sure? Chris, I'm going to go ahead and let you go here, man. We're going to let some other people call in for tonight. All right, buddy?
All right.
All right. Thanks, man.
Hey, Chris.
But, I mean, Ren, I'll give you a shot to respond to that. Not 24 hours ago, we were saying, hey, probably a good thing that Perryman's back because that drop-off is huge.
Yeah.
But now a lot of people are going, nope, he's gone. Let's just let the other guys.
Yeah, because then he played. Because then he played. They're like, oh, yeah, now I remember.
Right.
Like, he reminds me so much of DeSean Jackson with his body out, like his body language out there.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he's – I know he's trying, but it looks like he does not giving maximum effort, you know? Like, if the play's not going right, he just kind of like, oh, well. You know, he should have stopped in that cross. He doesn't look like he's fighting to get position for the ball. You know, it's probably his fault he wasn't in the right spot on that last interception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's just, where was he going on that 2-point conversion? Like, was he going?
It's very true. Well, hey, let's talk to our caller here. You are on the line with Brent and Ren for the Instant Cast. Who do we have here tonight?
You've got Christopher Oxenhine in Kansas City, Missouri.
Chris Ox, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Ox?
No, not much. What's going on, Ren? How you doing, man?
Well, you know.
So, the first caller, man,
Gil,
yeah. he picked a heck of a time to become a Buccaneers fan.
Right?
Right?
And
kudos to him, man. I mean,
and
geez.
He sounded a little young, you know, I don't know, but if this is going to remain his team, he is going to have quite the existence of torment and all that. My main beef today is with the coaching staff. I really think that they really let this team down. I think the 4th-and-1 play call that didn't work was really, really bad, but I think that earlier when they had 4th-and-1 right around the 50-yard line and they didn't go for it, I think that was really bad, too. I really think that you could have just showed your team, hey, Jameis, you're the QB. We're gonna QB sneak you, and you can get this no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you don't give the defense another chance to blow the game. You maintain that. You maintain the possession. You probably score a field goal there because you are almost ready to break the Titans' will, and you just didn't quite do it, and they paid for it. I mean, I went to UCF, so I like Perryman, but he's got to go after today. No problem. You know, that, as far as I'm concerned, he's definitely got to go. But the coaching staff really, really disappointed me today. To like, this is just as incompetent as some of the other coaching staffs, even from the late 80s, you know, from the mid 80s to the late 80s to Sam Weiss. And then, you know, after Dungy and Gruden both were gone, this is the same sort of incompetence, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I know what play you're talking about. Like, Jameis scrambled, and that's when he stretched out, and, like, his knee hit early, and he just didn't make the first down. And it was sort of back-to-back drives where they went three and out, and I think that was it. And they decided to punt it. But at the time, you know, I would have liked to go for it, of course, because, you know, it was so close. But it was just on the other side of the 50, and at that time, the defense hadn't given up a touchdown that the team had to drive more than 10 yards to get. So yeah. I felt like it was the right call. It just, of course, came back and bit him in the butt. But there was no guarantee it was there. It was going to get there.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as saying, like, this is the most incompetent staff, I mean, I think that's a big stretch.
I don't mean the most. I just mean this game today reeked of that sort of, you know, the players didn't seem prepared. There was still the basic miscommunication on a couple of the interceptions that were, you know, that just seemed like that sort of stuff just happens.
Yeah,
no
I'm
matter
with you.
Who's coaching, no matter what players, those things happen. And I, you know, I'm not sure how to fix it. I wasn't mad. I just was disappointed because this is just another lost season now. So now we're at the end of October, and you have November and December to watch the, you know, Buccaneers play a bunch of good teams, except for the Falcons. Those are, you know, they're worse than us, but you get to watch some other good teams play the Buccaneers. Maybe the Bucs can, you know, sneak out a couple of wins before the season's over. But
yeah, I don't know, Chris. We play a whole lot of backup quarterbacks between now and the end of the season still.
Yeah. I think the only two games I feel really good about a win, I guess that's the way to put it, is with the Falcons because they're so bad. But none of the rest of it, you know, even the Cardinals. I mean, you got the Cardinals and the Seahawks.
We're beating
the
Seahawks.
If they go in there next week and get their doors blown off.
No, we never get our doors blown off. That's the whole thing. And that's kind of like why it's so hard with Winston. Yeah, he's erratic. Yeah, he throws the ball over the field. Yeah, he's way up. Yeah, he's way down, you know, from quarter to quarter, play to play, series to series. But you know what? We're always in it. Mm-hmm. No matter how bad the defense plays, no matter how bad he plays, no matter how bad the offensive line plays, no matter how many times O.J. Howard bats the ball into the turf, we're always in it.
We had two of those games where we weren't in it last year, the Bengals and the Bears.
No, we were in the Bengals game. Fitzpatrick
at
came
the
in.
End.
Yeah,
we
were
came
in
back
it.
At the end.
The Bears game,
but the Bears
we were not
one,
in it.
The Bears one were completely not in it the entire time.
No, you're right.
But I just wanted to call in and just express my frustration with the coaching staff today. It's not an overall thing. Like, I'm like not saying that they are as bad as those Richard Williamson ones and all those other, you know, Ray Perkins, all the rest of that trash. But today was that sort of coaching, it felt like, at least to me anyway. I was just having flashbacks of some of the really bad Raheem games and, you know, those other guys. So even some of the bad Sam Weiss games, it just was having that. So, but I know there's a lot of other people that want to get on here, so I'll get flying and go Bucks.
All right, thanks, Chris. Yeah. Hey, couple of notes, and I'll be real interested to see how these translate out. Maybe coming right off the game, this doesn't feel great, and we're all skeptical of it. But BA, from his press conference, this is coming from Greg Allman, who's there in the room with him, tweeting out, saying, from Bruce Arians, Jameis didn't throw one damn interception that was his fault. His receivers let him down today. He played his tail off. You can write whatever the hell you want. Not one of those interceptions was his fault, and it's a damn shame.
Not even the first one?
That's what he said.
That means Godwin was not supposed to stop and sit down in the hole.
And I think that's actually what the guy on the TV broadcast said as well.
No, he said he did find the soft spot and sit down in the hole.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Jameis thought he was supposed to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the Perriman one because he doesn't seem like he cares. Like, it just doesn't. Like,
right.
Like, I'm with – it wasn't Ox. It was Chris. Like, I'm with Chris. Like, and I understand your point where it's like, hey, just like, you know, the past 2-3 weeks we've been like, where the hell's Perriman? We need him back. We don't have a third.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm – since the playoffs are done and the Bucks aren't going to say this, I want to see Justin Watson.
Sure. Let's see our draft picks. I get it.
I want to see him. Like, Scotty Miller's getting in there, you know, doing his thing. Like, a great play by a defensive back. Almost had a long touchdown. It was just a touch bit underthrown. I saw Jameis looking at him a couple more times down there. But, you know, it's – I just feel like at least Watson's going to try. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, I'm past the part where it's like, well, as a fan, I don't know what's really going on. So, you know, they know more than me.
Right.
So I guess since, you know, he's not playing, then that, no, I did that crap with Cutter, you know, saying like, oh, well, he's just not, you know, some of these coaches are just stubborn. They're mm-hmm. just stubborn about playing Dare on third down. Okay. Yeah. They're just stubborn about running Peyton Barber on short yardage. They're just stubborn about certain things. And that's what I'm thinking they're doing with J-Watt. They're like, we want Perryman to work, so we're going to make it work. Well, mm-hmm. it's almost – he doesn't look like he wants to be here. Like, yeah. I know I can't prove it. You can't ask him because, of course, he won't say it. Mm-hmm. But he just it doesn't feel like he gives any effort when he's out there, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. You want to look lazy. You want to look slow. You want to look like you don't care. Okay, catch the ball. Get open. He's not doing any of those things. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, you know, playoffs are gone. Let's see what – I want to see what J-Watt can do. Some on the outside, some in the slot.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I just, you know, if we're going to say, hey, it's time to cut Perryman, we have to address what we just said 24 hours ago by saying, hey, it's a good thing he's coming back because, you know, the drop off has been huge. But I mean, Red, you put it real nicely there. If we're looking at a spot where the playoffs are out of the picture, especially, then you got to do that. Although Arians talking about, he's not playing for next year. He still wants to go out and win.
Of course,
and he's going to do that every
single
week.
And he's going to try to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not suggesting they're tanking. I'm just saying, like, if you can get a third or a fourth mm-hmm. or a fifth for Perryman, cut him because it's he's not doing anything to help your cause. He's really not.
I don't disagree with you at all. But with that, Ren, we are now kind of up at this spot. This has been our instant cast. This has been our post-game instant cast. We actually are not done, though, yet tonight, Ren. We're going to go ahead and close this particular show up for right now. But we are going to be back. For those of you guys who are joining us in the chat room, you're joining us live. We're going to be back tonight in our regular instant cast spot. We're going to do this all over again. So you guys come back and join us again. If you didn't get to call in or you didn't get to call in and you want to call in again, feel free to do that. You guys can come join us at youtube.com/thePewterCast. And I'm not sure which of these two we're going to put up online. Might put them both up. I don't know. I tell you what I'm not doing is splicing them together and trying to edit them over top of each other because that ain't going to happen. But either way, we're going to do that. So listen, thanks to everybody who jumped into the chat room today and joined us live, those of you guys who are watching. And if you liked doing this right after the game, do me a favor. Send us in an email. Let us know. This is a little bit of a test run to see if this time slot works for us or not. Shoot us an email to thepewtercast@gmail.com. Let us know whether you like this time slot better, or maybe if you like the 10 o'clock time slot better. We'd just like to know that from you guys on your end. So Ren, with that for right now, why don't you tell the folks where they can get a hold of you on the internet, because we're going to be back a little bit later to talk about this some more.
Best place to find me on Twitter. It's at Cut Perryman. CUT_PERRIMAN. At Ren Dax on Twitter is always the best way to find me, REN_DAXT. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football.
You like those underscores in your Twitter lines, don't you?
Well, you know how I started that?
Like, they don't let you do a dash?
Well, the dash is stupid. Right. Like the it started because I used to play tons of video games, you know, like before mm-hmm. consoles were even a thing. And of course I played all through the consoles, and a lot of times, and even on mobile games now, they won't let you put a space in.
Right. Right.
And yeah, like, and that's like Ren Dax is my avatar. It has been for years,
sure,
but they'll let you put a symbol in.
Right.
And so instead of a dash, you put an underscore. It looks like a space. So it's REN_DAX. And, yeah. and that way it's not squished together as one word. And
it's not Rend Axed.
yeah, Rendaxed.
Rendaxed, right. Okay. Yeah. Hey, listen, if you guys want to get in touch with me, you can find me at Bren Talina Ive and Bren Talin Live. And listen, guys, thePewtercast@thePewtercast. You guys know how to get a hold of us. We will be back tonight to do this all over again, 10 o'clock. So you guys make sure you come back and join us. And if you're just joining us live at 10 o'clock, we'll talk to you then. So until then, guys, toodles and peace out.
Toodles and peace out. Sounds like a snack food.
Toodles.
You know what gets me through my day?
A big old bag of toodles.
It's 2 o'clock when you're hungry. Grab some toodles and peace out.
There you go.